Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today,
Pastor Chuck continues with Jesus brought before Pilate as we pick up in Mark chapter 15, verse 1.
And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane in the evening or late night and immediately brought before Caiaphas, the high priest, and some of the rulers, where they held an illegal night tribunal. And they tried to develop charges that they could bring against Jesus before the Roman court, because they were determined that Jesus must be put to death. But they did not have the power of condemning a prisoner to death. That was Rome's power. So their trial against Jesus was basically a religious trial. And they had many witnesses that came. None of them could agree together. And finally, the high priest said directly to Jesus, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us, are you the Son of God?" And Jesus answered in the affirmative and said, "Henceforth, you're not going to see me until you see me in the right hand of power." And the high priest tore his clothes and he said, "What need we of any further witnesses?" In other words, we don't need witnesses. Guy's witnessed against himself. "What do you think of this?" And they all said, "It's blasphemy. What should we do to him? Let him be put to death." Well, there's no way the Roman court is going to put a man to death for blasphemy against the Jewish religion. So they had to develop other charges when they brought Jesus before Pilate, because their religious charges would not hold any credence in a Roman court. So in the morning, this trial was at night. Now in the morning, they gathered together the whole council. Verse 1 of chapter 15. And they held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, now no doubt the charges that they brought against Jesus were charges of insurrection against Rome, claiming that he was a king, and they did throw in the charge, though it was a false charge, that he said they should not pay taxes to Caesar. So basically, the only charges that they could bring against the Roman court against Jesus would be insurrection against Rome. And these would be capital offenses for which he could be put to death. So Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "You said it." Now, the chief priest accused him of many things, but he did not make any defense for himself. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Don't you answer anything to these charges? Behold, all of these things that they are witnessing against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast, that is the feast of the Passover, it was the custom of the Roman government to honor the feast by turning free a prisoner unto the people, a prisoner of their choice. And so there was a certain prisoner named Barabbas, which was bound with those who had made insurrection and who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he was accustomed to do on this particular day of the year, release a prisoner. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people that they should rather release Barabbas unto them, or that he should rather release Barabbas. And Pilate answered and said unto them again, What will you then that I shall do with him whom you call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So we find the account of Jesus before Pilate. For many years, there were certain Bible critics that found what they felt to be a discrepancy in the scriptural record because of the reference to Pilate. And within the Roman records that had been discovered up to that point, there was no record of any man named Pilate ever being a governor over Judea. And so those Bible critics who are so willing and ready to find some discrepancy in the Bible began to aver with all of their scholastic pomp that the Bible was not a credible record at all because it listed people who never did exist, people whose names were absent from any other record or any other source, and because there was no other source naming Pilate as a Roman governor, then surely the Bible account has to be spurious, and you cannot rely or trust in the Bible. And these men gain great notoriety by their proclamations, and the papers were only too happy to publish them and their findings. However, when excavations were being done in Caesarea, they happened across an interesting stone that had the record of Pilate inscribed upon it, the governor of Judea, and telling a little bit about his office as governor. And so all of the scholars and all of their discrediting of the Bible was, of course, discredited itself, and the Bible stood once more as an anvil, as the hammers that were beaten against it were worn out and tossed aside. And now it is thoroughly recognized, and there has been much more discoveries by the archaeologists that have proved that Pilate did indeed live and governed over Judea. And in fact, we know quite a bit about Pilate's history now. But it's interesting how that people are so ready to find fault with the Word of God, are so ready to discredit it, and how much publicity they can get on any statement discrediting the Bible. Yet when they found this stone of Pilate, very little was mentioned about it in the press. You know, the guys just sort of bow their heads and put their tail between their legs and slink away and hope that people will forget their, you know, asseverations that Pilate was not a real person. Jesus is accused of being the King of the Jews. He's more than that. He's the King of glory. But Jesus did not defend himself. Now, in Isaiah, it said, As the sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. It is possible that this crowd that had gathered before Pilate had not gathered on the account of Jesus. It is quite possible that the crowd had gathered in order to have this man Barabbas released. It could be that was the purpose of the crowd being there. Now, we find the charge against Barabbas was insurrection. That would not be a bad or evil thing as far as the Jew was concerned. In fact, this was a common problem that Rome had with Judea. The many insurrections. For there were many zealots who hated that Roman occupation of their land. And they were constantly having uprisings against the Roman occupiers. And there was, of course, this man Barabbas. It could be that to the people he was a national hero because he dared to stand up against Rome. So that it is quite possible that the crowd that was there was not actually there to witness the trial of Jesus, but were there for the purpose of getting the release of Barabbas to put the pressure on that Barabbas might be released as sort of a popular hero. And that this trial of Jesus was just something that was thrown upon them, but they themselves actually weren't too aware of Jesus or who he was. That is a possibility. There are many times those who say, well, now look at the fickleness of the crowd. Just, you know, the few days before they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And now they're crying, crucify him. It could be that you're dealing with two entirely different crowds and not with a fickle condition of the multitude. But those that were there to really see the imposition of death upon Jesus were the priests, the high priest, the scribes, and that these other people were actually there and have gathered there on this day in order to help facilitate the release of their popular hero, Barabbas. So that we so oftentimes hear Barabbas cast in an evil light. How would they choose this man who was a murderer, an insurrectionist and all? Well, it's because he was an insurrectionist that they sort of admired him. And he could have been a real people's hero as far as insurrection against Rome was concerned. Nonetheless, however it may be, the people chose a lawless man over the law, over a man who was obedient to the law. Their choice was a sad choice indeed, and it so often reflects the attitude of people of choosing lawlessness over the law. Pilate asked them a question that is a question that is very relevant to each one of us. What will you then that I shall do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews? What shall I do with this man? That's something that every one of you have to determine in your own hearts. What are you going to do with Jesus, who is called the King of the Jews? You see, you've got to do something with him. He is a radical, and as a radical, you cannot be neutral towards him. You've got to have some kind of an opinion. You've got to do something with him. And you see, you've got to either believe him or not believe him. You've got to receive him or reject him. Now, not to believe in him is to not believe in him. In other words, you can't be neutral. You've got to take a stand one way or the other. You either believe or you don't believe. You can't be neutral. Not to receive him is to reject him. Not to confess him is to deny him. And each of you must determine what you are going to do with this man Jesus, who is called the King of the Jews. For you either confess or deny, you receive or you reject, you believe or you don't believe. Pilate was the judge. He is asking the people to give him direction for his decision. A very unusual move on the part of the judge. But yet, in this case, it's a significant move because really, it's the people's choice. It's a personal choice, and each man must make the decision for himself. You can't leave it up to Pilate to make the decision for you. You make the decision for yourself, and you are responsible then for that decision that you make. In a sense, each of you stand as the judge of Jesus Christ. Was he really the Son of God, or was he a charlatan and a fake? Did he really die for the sins of the world? Was he really risen from the dead? Or is it all a farce, a hoax? And each of you must stand as judge of the facts of history to determine whether or not these are accurate or inaccurately reported to you. So you must finally decide and determine what you are going to do with this man Jesus, who is called the Christ, the King of the Jews. But the ironic twist of the whole thing, your being the person who must judge for yourself concerning Jesus Christ, the ironic twist is that your decision concerning him has absolutely nothing to do with his destiny. Though you have to judge, you are not determining his destiny, but in reality, you are determining your destiny. To believe in him, to receive him, to confess him, is to receive eternal life. To not believe in him is to receive eternal damnation. And thus, you as the judge are determining your own destiny when you make your determination concerning Jesus Christ. It's a very heavy thing. I am the judge, but yet it is my fate that is being determined by the judgment that I make. What Jesus is, he is. You can't change it. What he has always been and will always be. Your decision concerning him will not affect him at all, but it will determine where you spend eternity. Pilate willing to content the people. This is justice of convenience, which is not true justice. To give in to the will of the people, though you know it is wrong. To yield to the pressure of the crowd, though you know it is wrong. It's always a hard position to be in. In your heart, you know what is true. In your heart, you know what is right. In your heart, you know what you ought to do, but there is this pressure against you, the pressure to make the wrong decision, to do the wrong thing. And how sad it is when a person yields to that pressure rather than to stand up for that which he knows to be right and true. Pilate, in order to placate the people, freed Barabbas, but delivered Jesus to be crucified. And he scourged him. Now, we have it only in one word, scourged him. Yet that scourging was one of the cruelest forms of punishment administered by Rome. In fact, it was such a horrible punishment that there was a law that no Roman prisoner, being a Roman citizen, could be scourged without, first of all, having a formal trial. The purpose of scourging was to discover information. You've heard of the old third degree, which, of course, the Supreme Courts have outlawed now. But you know, where they turn the hot lights on and they don't feed you and they keep asking you the questions and they wear you down mentally until finally you're ready to sign your confession and all, and where they take the pliers and pull out your fingernails, you know, and they pinch your ears and they slap your face and you know, all of the old third degree thing to get a person to confess. Well, this was the 10th degree kind of exercise of the Roman government. Where they would tie the prisoner over a post so that his back was stretched out and exposed. And then they would use this leather whip with sharpened bits of lead and glass tied in it, and it would literally tear the prisoner's back to shreds. as they would lay this lash over their back 39 times. They always had a scribe standing by who was recording the confessions that the prisoner would cry out. And the idea was, as the stripe was laid upon you, you would cry out a crime that you had committed. You'd confess to some crime. And that way, they would make the next lash a little easier and a little easier. And it was to help the Roman government solve a lot of the unsolved crimes prior to putting the man to death. It was to clear up the police blotter of a lot of the unsolved crimes in the community. And it was very effective. It was so painful that there are records of many men who went insane through the beating, and rarely would a man survive it. Usually he would die from the loss of blood and just the horrible painfulness of this experience. And many prisoners died during the scourging. Many went insane.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 15 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and give you a beautiful week. May He watch over you and protect and shield you from the evil that is so prevalent in this world in which we live. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, just that beautiful, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon your heart and your life all week long as you live with Him.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
For years, Pastor Chuck was asked thousands of questions.
This new guy that my mom married, he thinks that the Christian beliefs are foolish, and I was wondering if that's going to affect my mom's walk.
I'm a Christian. I'm trying to fight the addiction of smoking, and are those things going to keep me from going in the rapture?
Is it okay to use your tithe and give it to someone who's going on a mission trip instead of giving it directly to church?
The Word for Today is pleased to present an ebook called Biblical Counseling by Chuck Smith, listing over 200 topics that include Pastor Chuck's commentary and the scripture references he used. Topics include addiction, business relationships, depression, lawsuits, sexuality, training children, and so much more. To download the Biblical Counseling ebook by Chuck Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link provided. Or you can call 1-800-272-9673.